Mrs. Albert W. Bloom interviewing Mrs. Nathan Burke. All right. Mrs. Burke, you said you were born in Romania in a farm town, Bucharest, and you were the only Jews in the family, in the village. There were about 100 families, and you had a mud house with whitewashed walls and four rooms altogether. And in your family, you had two younger brothers and three younger sisters, and you had lived in that house all your life until you came here with your parents, and that you and a brother of yours came when you were 17 years old.
My brother was younger than me.
And that your father in Romania was a bookkeeper in a lumber yard. Now that we have the machine going right now, we'll continue.
Good.
Now, what languages were spoken in your home?
Well, my parents spoke Jewish, spoke Hebrew, and they spoke French, both of them, and they spoke German. And of course, Romanian is the language that you're in America. We children went to the Romanian school because it was a village.
Did you learn anything besides Romanian? Did you speak any of these others? But your parents spoke it among themselves.
Yes.
Where had they come from?
Born and raised there, and my grandparents too.
But one they had learned all these other languages.
Oh, because they went to school.
They didn't teach you Yiddish?
No.
What kind of schooling did you have? You went to a Romanian school?
A Romanian school, 4 years. From the age of six to the age of 10.
All right. And did you learn any Hebrew anywhere?
Not
you didn't
word.
Go to any Hebrew?
Not a word. I could understand.
Did you have, you obviously didn't have a synagogue in your town,
yeah.
But you were the only Jews.
The holidays, my parents used to bundle us all up and
wagon?
Drushki.
Yeah, a wagon.
And with the Russian, we used to go to a city, it's called Bichache. B-C-A-C-I, Bichache. But you see, what we do is like in the Hebrew, that you read the little dusikah that you put underneath that makes your words, you see?
Yeah. All right.
So
that was the larger town.
That's a little hickey here, so it makes it check.
All right. The larger town.
That was the largest Jewish town.
Do you remember anything about what the synagogue was like there in that town?
Well, the kids didn't go to the synagogue.
Your
parents did.
Where did you stay then?
We stayed with an aunt of ours, an uncle, a brother of my father's.
And your parents went to synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how were the relations with your non-Jewish people in your community, since you were the only Jews? Did your parents have good relations?
They were highly respected. My father was highly respected by the goyim there, the Romanian goyim. Never had a word.
And you lived in that town because he had the job in the mill.
I left him there when I come to America.
Uh-huh.
I left him there.
All right. Now, do you know your father couldn't have belonged to any organizations then, any Zionist organization? Now, what was the relationship of the government of your country to the Jews in your country? Did you remember ever hearing your father say anything about?
No, I don't remember my father. In fact, because my father was the fact that he was educated, so the Gentile people that came there.
He was the only one Jew. It would make it.
So they used to come.
All right. Now, what did you think about America at that time? What made you decide to come in?
Because my father had a brother here. He and his wife and son came here for the Mayflower, I guess. See? And they had a grocery store at the corner of Manila in Webster Avenue. They were there for years. Two colored people killed my uncle here about 40 years ago. They came in and asked for something again.
So what did you think about America? This question
when I was home.
Specifically, yeah. What kind of thoughts did you have about America? What made you decide?
My aunt and uncle was writing letters to my parents to permit our two oldest children to come to America just for a visit. But after we came here for a visit, we got the American bug and loved America, so we just
So you originally came just to visit?
Just to visit, yes.
Now, so then that's the answer to why you left the country. You really came just to a visit to America here. And that's fine. All right, and you knew you were coming to Pittsburgh specifically. Now, when you came, were you and your brother just alone together, or were you with a whole group from your country?
Yes, we came with the...
There were more on the ship, but were you traveling with them?
No.
No,
I didn't
so it was just you and your brother.
What do you call that organization that years ago used
Pious?
To bring... No, Mamala, no. I couldn't begin to tell you, but there was years ago an organization that my aunt from here had...
Made the arrangements,
gave them the money.
But from your country, as far as you know, you were the only two that... All right, now how did you get from your town to United States? How did you go from your town to where to get the boat?
I think I'll never forget. I remember my father took us as far as Chernivtsi, if you know where, you know, there's a city
called... How did you go that way?
By train.
By train.
There's a train, yeah. And they took us...
You want to tell me the name of that town again? Say it again. Just say it, and then I'll...
Chernivtsi. C-E-R.
Chernivtsi,
yeah. All right. And I'll never forget, you know, when we came to this town, so my father says, so he took my, I can feel his hands. If you want to turn back now, come. As much as I have spent, you know, those days it was a lot to be spent somewhere. As much as I have spent, he says, it doesn't matter, he says, let's go back. And I says, no, Dad, I want to go. Very determined. All that time. Till nowadays, it's my paperboy. And so we came.
Now, do you remember, then you went from Chernivtsi to what port?
What port did you go to get
the boat?
Hamburg? The name of the ship was Potsdam. I remember that name because I thought it was such a funny name to call something.
Do you remember what the...
And it was Antwerp.
Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know how you got from Chernivtsi to Antwerp? Was that also by train?
I never remember nothing. Because, you know, there was somebody always took care of you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, kids on a farm. What did we know? I never knew there was any other person living there.
And where did you land? Where did the boat land? New York. All right, and do you remember who met you in New York? Were any relatives or the organization?
No, the organization.
But you're not sure the name?
No, I do not.
Right. Now, did you bring anything with you, any papers or any objects, or you just brought your own clothing?
Just a couple of rags that we, you know, children.
What was your maiden name, did you say?
S-A-F-I-R.
S-A-F-I-R, Saffir. Mm-hmm. And you didn't change it when you came here? You kept that same maiden name?
So did my brother. Exactly the way it's spelled.
Now, do you remember what first impressed you in New York when you came to the United States?
I don't remember nothing but the ocean.
Now, do you remember what first impressed you when you came to Pittsburgh? Did you come right from New York to Pittsburgh?
Yes.
You remember
my cousin, the son of this Saphir, Cyril Saphir was his name, and he came, I guess, to the station. And he took us home.
And you remember anything about that first day that impressed you about the city since you were coming from a small town?
What impressed me the first day that I came in was the gas stove, the gas that was...
Because you didn't have that kind of thing.
No, we used lumber. And impressed me again, the broom with a long tail that we did not have. And I couldn't get over, you know, and I was looking, and I says, my Lord, how did they ever use a broom like that?
Right. All right, now do you remember anything else on your first day in Pittsburgh? You went to live with your uncle and aunt.
Yes.
And where did you say they lived?
They had a grocery store at Manila in Webster Avenue, I think it was. And
they lived right there?
Oh, yeah, they had a big house with a dozen of boarders, you know how they used to live years ago. And, you know. Then that was a good job for me.
Said you decided to stay, that's where you worked in the grocery store.
No,
you worked in the house helping with the boarders.
But then,
all right.
No.
All right. Now, was there anything about the life in the United States that disappointed you during those first 5 years? You said you were happy, and that's why you decided to stay instead of going back.
Yes, but I had many disappointments because that I don't think I want to put in. Because it was disagreements of my uncle. She was a very severe person, you know.
And personality.
Yes, personality, see. And I don't want to discuss these or not things to discuss.
Right. Some people, you know, felt that was there any way that you felt that you were being unjustly treated because you were an immigrant, either by the people you were with or by the community?
Because I'll tell you, we were brought up by wonderful parents. And you learn to mind your own business and not have anything, you know, to do with nobody. Very strict. I think Father said, "Ada blessed," and my mother, she cut my tongue out.
After having lived in the United States for those first 5 years,
probably a couple of weeks, that I had to go to work in a tobacco factory, which this was.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to ask you next,
all right,
and where you went.
And this was my great disappointment in my life. See, because I came here with health of an animal, not of a human, you know, even if I was just beginning my 17th year, and strong and healthy and all. And then in a couple of months, I went down to just nothing, you know. The color of my face, everybody used to think that I had rouge on in those days.
I'm going to ask you about that, the climate affect you. All right. So that was really a disappointment.
Yes, because I had to work in that Delta tobacco factory. See, nobody in my home, and look, I'm the oldest of 11 children because I was born with children since
after
I was in America. And my father never has set an example of tobacco or carts in our home. And he says, if any of your children, he says, will do that or use that, you can't blame it that you've seen at home. You see what I want to bring? Just little things that I remember, you see. And
you didn't feel you were being unjustly treated because you were an immigrant.
You didn't get relief like you do today.
After 5 years of living here, did you think that you had accomplished what you were looking for when you came here, or that you ever would?
Well, I didn't think I'd come here for any material things because material things didn't bother me as a child home, you know what I mean? 17 years in America is not a child anymore.
What did you come for?
But you get used to it. You see, I come here, I made friends. In fact, I made friends with a person, her name was Ella Rosen, that worked in the tobacco factory with me. And after we went from the tobacco factory, the first one I worked was Eleanor, I think it was their name, and they were right. Is this Crawford Street where that hospital that moved away from up the hill? What was it?
Passavant.
So it was right on that street where wait a minute. Crawford.
All right, we won't worry about this. Right.
Yeah.
Now, the first home that you lived in then was with your aunt and uncle.
Yes,
and
just for a while, just for 1 year.
All right.
And then I lived with a family by the name of Martha Hash Siegel. 7.5 years I was with these people at 1603 Bedford
Avenue. Those were just friends.
Entire strangers, see. Uh-huh. But I was unhappy at my aunt's. And my brother used to sell papers, and the Siegel boys used to sell papers. And my brother, even 2 years younger than me, but he's much more intelligent than I am. And he says, "Would you know anybody that would take a girl to room and board?" And
so just you went, or your brother went too?
No, just I went. My brother stayed with a family by the name of
he left your aunt and uncle too at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. He went a few months later.
Yes.
And I stayed with these people 7.5 years. And I think that I was, in the 7.5 years, more what would you call
part of the family?
Part of the family than the Reagan and Kinden. They had a big family. And one of the girls bloomer. Just the husband just had a bloom just a couple of weeks ago. And here, I think I have the piece.
Well, I'm sorry.
No,
now, the kind of work, after just a few works of being here, you said you went to work in a tobacco factory. Now, you remember how much you earned there?
Oh, gosh. We used to get, I think it was 13 cents a hundred for Toby's. And you had a hustle.
Yeah.
And if you hustled, you maybe you made a dollar, and maybe you didn't, see.
A week? A day?
No, a day.
A day.
Yes, see. But I was a short time in a tobacco factory, honey. I wanted to get out of it as fast as I could.
What were the hours that you worked there?
Oh, God, I was at the door 6 o'clock, darling, in the morning.
Yeah.
And we used to leave after 6 o'clock because you hated to get
up. Did you have to work on Saturdays and holidays?
No, Saturdays we did not. No holidays.
No.
And about how long did you say you stayed in this tobacco factory?
I think I was in a tobacco factory for almost 3 years till I learned a little English.
All right. Now, did you belong to any union at the time?
No,
while
there wasn't
such
a thing. No, I don't
remember. All right.
Remember.
Now, what became your life's work? You left the tobacco factory after 3 years.
I went to Frankenstein and got a job as a sales lady. They were just a little alley, a long little alley across the Kaufman's right at the corner, not as big as you saw
Frankenstein. What kind of things did you sell?
Look at my house dress. House dresses, in those days they used to wear the skirt and I forgot what they used to call the blouse that they wore. You know, the blouse had you button it here and had a little over like this, you know, over the skirt.
Right.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All right, now if you lived this part of your life over again, what kind of work would you have liked to have gone into? If you had your choice of doing anything you wanted, if you had the education and the money for anything, what kind of thing would you have liked to have done?
If I would have had the opportunity, now I should say, opportunity is what you take, what you want to make.
Right.
There are people that...
What would you like to
I would
to
have
know?
Loved to win in the medical, in the medicine. I'd have loved to run down that.
Medical field, a nurse or a...
Yes. Right. I would have advanced more than a nurse.
That's a nurse or a doctor. Doctor, even
I would have loved
to. Very good. All right, now, what kind of schooling did you have here in Pittsburgh? Did you go
not
to night school
day.
At all?
Not at that.
You just learned
nothing.
The English?
Yes.
So then you learned English after?
By reading the presses. I wrote to the press an article. I think I have it. I'd like to show it to you.
At work and from the paper?
Yes.
Reading the papers. Now, and you learned to write English?
Yes. Thanks.
Where? From people teaching you on your own?
Picking up the way. And the family signal that I stayed, some of the children were born here in America, and when I didn't know nothing, I just
would, asked them.
No matter how they left and what they did, and the same
but
thing at work.
Without any school at all. Uh-huh. Now, did you like music? Did you go to any concerts or operas or anything in those early days?
I didn't have to do these things.
All right. Now, did you go to any Yiddish theater?
We used to go to the open concerts that used to have in Shirley Park.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
See? And you know, down by the river
was
the
in town.
Yes, dearie, we're near the Sixth Street Bridge between Horns and was it for gosh sakes?
Not just Mark Sixth Street.
Yeah, well, that's where the operas used to come down. Well, I heard Caruso and a good many
others. Now, did you used to go to the Yiddish theater ever, or any other theater?
You know what? I think about twice in my life I was, and you know what it was. By Corner Logan in Fifth Avenue, about the fourth, fifth house down from that corner. There used to be a theater, which I don't remember, a movie house or something. The Yiddish place used to come down there.
But you never went to any other theater, any other place except Yiddish?
No.
Did you ever go to hear lectures in those early years? Were there Zionist lectures?
Very little.
Other
the
lectures?
Zion Hall that used to be on Green Street in Center Avenue.
You have a wonderful memory for these places.
Oh, honey, but look, it's that many
That's
years
amazing.
Back.
No, because most people don't remember all these little details so much. So what kind of lectures? Were they Zionist lectures?
Zionists, yes. I never was interested in those guys that used to sit and pick up on a box at Corner Center Avenue. Yes, yeah, socialists. Oh,
did
God,
you have occasion to use the public libraries?
No, I just never went. I didn't know.
And what Pittsburgh newspapers did you say you read?
It was the Leader.
The Leader.
The Press. later.
Price was the leader. The leader was the English daily paper,
both,
huh?
Both English, non-Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you read any Jewish papers from Pittsburgh?
I cannot.
No,
I can't read Jewish.
All right. Now, when you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person? Was your family religious?
Well, I will not say that my family was with a pace, you know,
no.
And stuff like
but
that.
Did you keep kosher?
Oh, definitely, yes.
And you kept Shabbos?
Yes. And there used to be a shechet used to come down on Thursday. And, of course, having a farm, we had hundreds of chickens and ducks and what have you.
Oh, you mean even in
there? Yeah. And then he'd kill whatever my parents would tell him, you know. And
that's very interesting. You came once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that because I used to
traveling, sir.
Yes, I used to cry that he'll maybe do the chicken alive, you know, or the, you'd be surprised how children, you know, form these habits of.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you change any of your religious practices during the first 5 years that you lived here, or was the families that you lived with about the
people.
Same?
Religion? Yes, they were about the same people.
All right. Now, did you go to any synagogue here in Pittsburgh? In the early years when you were with your aunt or with the singles?
No. You know, years ago,
the girls don't
but,
know.
You know, many times when there was a wedding or something at the Romanische Schule on Robert Street, you know, three, four of us girls, you know, we used to run together. We'd sneak in to have a little dance. And that was the only time of Schule that girls used to not like children today. I think it's grand of children today.
When you got your own home, did you carry on observances in your homes for the holidays?
Till the nowadays. I don't mean from.
No, but I mean for the holidays.
For
the Seder.
Till the nowadays. Till the nowadays. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And the families that you lived with at that time did too.
The Siegel family, certainly.
All right, now you were referred before, let's fill this in now. Did you experience any change in health due to climate and food and so forth when you first came to Pittsburgh? So that's what you were telling me.
That was just
after a few months of working in the...
And at the tobacco factory, because it did not agree. I come from open air, you see.
You lost weight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, I was a fat dumpling, you know, went down to nothing. Today, I wish I was skinny like I was then. I would be a model. They have to be
and
a model.
And then how long... But did you then... you didn't get too bad because you had stayed there for 3 years, but the immediate change you felt.
I've had excellent health, thanks God.
And where did you go for medical care in those early years? Was there a family doctor?
Those early years, no. But you know what? In those early years, I remember one time that I felt like I was having a pain here. And I went to the Bedford Avenue Tubercular Hospital. They used to go there, you know, and they used to give you free... examinations and treatments, see? Mm-hmm. And that is the only thing I ever remember.
You never had to go to any other doctor? And thank goodness they told you were all right.
Isn't that to be blessed when you think about it, honey? And believe me, I had a hard life, and I'm not kidding you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you remember the first organizations that you belonged to, probably after you were married? Any Zionist groups or any synagogues?
No,
any organizations?
Bet Yehuda Congregation. Bet Yehuda Congregation. I was a member there for 40 years.
Where is that?
It was on corner Adams and Chateau Street. Adams and Chateau.
That's in the north side,
yes,
right?
Yes, north side, right there.
All right. And did you belong to any of the organizations that were set up to give charity
and
the pushed in your boxes?
There, no, then from there, a Mrs. Sophie Myers, who used to be a big Hadassah person. So I joined the Hadassah and all that. Over 40 years, I know. And then about 30 years ago, I joined the Pioneer Woman. Let's see, Pioneer Woman, this and that. Well, then I belonged to the Rebecca the Odd Fellows for about 35 years or so. I still belong
to that. Working hard, huh?
Don't run away. We want to talk to you, too. A few minutes. All right, now, where did you go to have a good time, either with your girlfriends?
Just at the Zion Hall.
Before, they have dances?
Yes, every Saturday night.
And then... When you were married, what kind of social life did you have?
Well, my social life was work.
But did you have parties in each other's homes before
darling.
You were married with the girls, too? Did you have parties in homes, too?
You mean when I was single, yes.
Yeah.
So it was, as I told you, that Rosen girl, Ella Rosen,
right,
it was Liebhoff people and Braddock.
Did you ever attend any sporting events?
No, God, yes. Right.
Did you even know that the YMCA existed or any other non-Jewish agencies?
Yes, I've been a member of the Y when they used to be...
No, but that's the YM and WHO, the Jewish Y?
The Jewish Y when they used to be...
No, this question is... The Goyish Y, YMCA.
Yeah.
Did you even know that it existed
yes,
in those days? You just
certainly.
Heard of it, but you didn't have any kind And no other non-Jewish agencies?
No other.
All right. Now, you mentioned the Zion Hall as being a local meeting place. Were there any other local meeting places?
It used to be the Y. It was on Fifth Avenue where the dispatch building was, I think, if I can remember that far back. And of course, we never... We used to go down there because I guess it was richer people or something.
Yeah.
I cannot explain what it was that
the
went
y
down
was there.
There.
But didn't go. But you went to the Zion, the Zion Hall.
Yes.
All
but
right.
I've been a member of the Y also.
Yes.
For about every bit of 40 years.
All right. Now, how did you meet people during those first 5 years through your aunt and the local relatives and at work?
The meeting of the people was just those people that I worked with, and the family of my aunt and uncle was a single family that had a pop factory on Robert Street there, and the Mailer Siegel, that was Dr. Siegel, Harry Siegel, his
Were
son.
You friendly with any non-Jewish people in those early years?
Never.
You worked with some?
With some non-Jewish people.
Some at work.
And our relationship, I think, till one woman that just died here recently. And funny thing, I was working in Jenkins tobacco factory, and they called me the Irish Jew, you know. Not that my name was Berkeley because I was single. But one of the women...
Why did they call you Irish Jew then?
Because I was Irish, the rest of them.
The rest of them.
And you know, it used to be the Duquesne Theater next to Rosenbaum's. And they used to have those Irish Catholic plays of St. Elmo, I remember, St. Vesavus. And they took me, so for a quarter we used to go up and sit in the peanut gallery. And so they called me the Irish Jew because they used to always take, I paid a quarter and used to go down and see all those plays with them. And one of these women lives still about next to that gasoline station over there. And you know, the strangest scenes, no. That when she got married, one of these, May Hogan, an Irish girl, she was an unmarried girl, and that time she was young, just like myself, of course, and she says to me, Ethel says, you're going to a wedding with me, she says, and a church, playing with the church was, I couldn't even tell you because I didn't know my city like I know my city today, and maybe I don't know today as good as I should, but I remember we went to that wedding, and her name was Doherty, and this May, she just died here a few years ago, and she came up to visit me up home one day, and she says to me, do you remember, she says, that we went to Doherty's wedding? I says, like from a dream, I remember something about this, but very little. I says, why? She says, so when I moved in here 15 years ago, when she was maybe still living, she says to me, do you know about that? She says, you go and see, she says, Doherty, and she told me where she lives, and I went to visit.
Some of your Jewish friends that you met in those early age, you said, have still kept up
Friends with everybody, darling.
You kept the contact.
Yes, I kept. In fact, this Ella Rosen that I just told you, she died here just not quite a year ago, and I got the nicest letter from her son.
The Seder and with your family, your aunt when you were with them,
just one child.
And then when you moved,
yeah, with the people that I lived with, the single family, they had a say.
Now, during these 5 years, how did you maintain contacts with people in Europe? And did you write to your family?
Till the nowadays, steady. I just want to show you a beautiful letter I just got from my sister.
All right. Did anybody, any of your other brothers and sisters, come here after you and your brother originally?
No, just a sister of mine that lived in Paris because. When Hitler came in, see. She and a brother of mine, they were quite wealthy. He was in Bucharest, he had a big insurance company like, you know, you would have here in America, what his name is.
Well, how did your family...
They got an underground, you know, if you pay this, but my father...
That's the ones from Paris?
Yeah.
And they came to the United States?
No.
They went to Paris?
They went to Paris, stayed in Paris, and my sister come here the year I moved in here, see, just 15 years ago this summer, and...
That was during World War II she went to Paris?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and she came here to visit me. However, she worked in a, she's a very educated, she's an attorney from home. And as she went to, so when she came here, oh, and when in Paris, she was working for a very exclusive lingerie place. And she's a very educated woman. I wish that I had, but she's got like this in her toe, my whole head. Well, anyway, she says, so when she come to visit me, she says, oh, can you live in a village like this? I says, Laura.
After Paris?
I says, Laura, I says, I'm very happy I have this here. I says, you should see some of the places I live. I says, you think this is a palace.
You were here already in this time?
Yeah, and I, because when we had the
business. How long did she stay?
And she just stayed with me exactly 2 weeks.
And then she went back to New York.
No, she went to New York because she had a very big clientele of friends that she had made through this.
She stayed there?
Yeah,
she
through this lingerie. And she stayed there and she met a man that was vice president of Saks Fifth Avenue, a gentleman, Ray Johnson. And Ray just died a year ago with a heart attack. And she's left comfort and she's in New York.